everybody. Welcome to Broken Shovel Homesteading for a Sustainable Future. If you'd like to reach out to the show, you can reach us brokenshovel802 at gmail.com. You can also find us on Reddit, brokenshovel802, and you can find my business's Instagrams and all that stuff using brokenshovel802 Vermont, where this is where we are. So we're just going to say hello here. Hi, I'm Lucas,
Hi,
and
Eric.
so slightly different intro today. We are, trigger warning, I guess, is the phrase that's used most of all. We are talking specifically about climate anxiety today. This can be something you don't even know you are experiencing. It might be a little intense. We're going to try to keep this episode, this topic brief and to the point, and offer up some resources if you are feeling any duress, physically, mentally, associated with climate anxiety or eco anxiety, as it's also called. Did I miss anything there, Eric?
Nope,
All
I
right.
don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to start with just a brief paragraph here about climate anxiety. Like I said, it's also known as eco anxiety. It is a growing phenomenon affecting people around the world. It's characterized by chronic fear and worry about the environmental crisis, often stemming from feelings of powerlessness and despair in the face of climate change. Surveys show a significant portion of young people, and I'll get into some statistics later on, especially are highly anxious about the planet's future, with some experiencing negative impacts on their daily lives. This isn't surprising considering the constant barrage of news on extreme weather events, rising sea levels, and potential mass extinctions. While not a diagnosable mental illness, climate anxiety is a very real response to a very real threat. It's not the first time, people have felt a fight or flight feeling in human history, right? There are mass migrations that are linked to a changing environment through, as you look at anthropology and history. But yeah, so Eric, hi, how are you today? And I mean that in that very how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of debating if I want to, like, the debate of do I start spring projects or do I relax because I know I've got a fun work week ahead of me.
That is a legitimate struggle. I don't have a choice. I do have to work today, and tomorrow and the next day and every day for the rest of my life. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about climate anxiety. You want to talk you want some statistics first, or should we talk about our sort of personal experiences?
I
Let's
mean,
save our personal experiences before we head into homesteading.
yeah, and then yeah, because I mean, mine is just like my climate anxiety kind of boils down to frustration and then nihilism,
Yes.
because like I get frustrated because there's like going into like the Vermont Climate Authority da da da, I mean, there's just so much focus on the individual while ignoring or not addressing the bigger picture, which is like the Vermonter weatherizing their house is like a grain of sand compared to the rich person that has the private jet and yacht. So it's just, I mean, it just, which gives me a very much like it angers me because it's like why am I bothering when the one billionaire undoes everything that Vermont does.
Yeah,
Which doesn't stop me from doing my part, but
right.
does make me very nihilistic and frustrated about doing my part.
Yeah, and something I think I was my generation was very much, well, maybe the second really generation to really start feeling this sort of corporate pressure that it was our responsibility as individuals while they were just doing whatever they wanted.
Yeah, and really, they still are doing whatever they want. They're just not doing it in America anymore. They're doing it in the global South.
Right, which you can go back and we talk about that. What was the overall subject where we talked about that? Was that
There is a
literally just
number
the
of them we've talked about, but one was greenwash. We talked about it a little bit in greenwashing.
Greenwashing, yeah.
Yeah, that was at a big focus. I think there's been a few. I can't think of the exact ones right now. But yeah, we've definitely talked about it because like they've shifted that burden. But then at the same time, we have Trump rolling back all these EPA rules and then these continued Supreme Court rulings that are basically giving these corporations permission to pollute again.
Yeah. And there's a, I don't want to give this an us versus them sort of mentality, but there are people that don't recognize this or are not aware of this because it's so much easier to not think about it. Mm-hmm. And that is that can be a response to climate anxiety, to just sort of disassociate. But there's also, you know, a very powerful, you know, nobody, the amount of conversation about the environmental impact of the Super Bowl is again a grain of sand compared to the conversations about a bunch of wealthy people gaining more wealth during 3 hours of televised broadcast television.
But yeah, they generate a massive amount of wealth from it. The amount of private jets you watched flying out of Vegas after the Super Bowl this year was just like, yeah, it's like it just gives you a sense of like, why am I bothering when what I do, no matter like, that's why like I looked at like the state of Vermont, what they do is literally offset by Jeff Bezos's one big mega yacht.
Yeah. I had a moment yesterday. Yesterday was a long day, just busy, right? Like, and I was up way past my bedtime for a town event, and I think I stayed up till 10 o'clock, Aaron.
Wow!
I know, and I was social for 3 hours before it. I got into this, you know, thinking about this episode and sort of planning ahead and trying to figure out what my angle was. I had this like really rough moment where I was like, self-reliance is not, it is a myth. Like, it's a myth. Like, I do my best, but, you know, and being self-sufficient and all of that stuff.
And the system's, it is literally written into legislation to not allow self-sufficiency, that you have to be dependent on the system in some form or fashion. Because, we deal with that, with work and dealing with the off-grid people. And then hearing mm-hmm. their stories of their, like, how hard it is to be off-grid.
Yeah. You basically have to be grandfathered into it at this point. Mm-hmm. But I sort of reconciled it. Like, okay, I'm not self-sufficient now. I am doing a lot to contribute to my self-sufficiency. But if climate change has its way with us, I have a structure to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
So I had to sort of talk myself out of that like dark hole I was finding myself drifting into about self-sufficiency. And it was effective, and it was, you know, it's a good technique. So I do want to hit this. In the U.S., around 2/3 of Americans, so 67%, and this is according to psychiatry.org, 67% of Americans report feeling somewhat or extremely anxious about the impact of climate change on the planet, and that was in 2020. Here we are 4 years later, and it's kind of hard to say, you know.
Yeah, I find those numbers disingenuous because of the fact that while people feel anxiety about it, they do absolutely nothing on a personal level to actually change things.
What percentage of people would you say actually do something? I kind of want to define do something. So we're talking activists? Are we talking homesteaders? Are we talking
activists, homesteaders, people that make a conscious effort to make sure that they are getting, or they're, when they're, if they have to be part of the supply chain or the consumer chain, that they are getting things locally or sustainably, that they look into what the carbon footprint of what they're buying is and try to avoid stuff with high footprint. So I mean, I think they have three groups all bundled into one, but I still find it like a minority of the population. I would say probably less than a third, if maybe less than a quarter of the population actually is active in trying to make some sort of effort.
Well, you know as well as I do that, you know, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know, when we're going up against things like greenwashing, culture norms and things like that, it's almost a full-time job to be a responsible inhabitant of this planet.
Yep.
You know, and I don't want to drone too long on that, really, but, you know, it is our responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility. And I get your, you know, what you call nihilism about the whole thing. I understand how you arrive at that sort of level of, I don't want to, tell me if I'm using the wrong word, but a level of despair.
Yeah, about... I always want to caveat that while I am very nihilistic and just being, why bother? I still bother. Like, I'm very nihilistic about it, but it's very much a why bother, but I'm still bothering.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes,
the cats. The birds set off the damn alarm again. So they must have set a timer, because this must have happened about the same time we were recording last week. Yeah, and I have a very different situation from you, I guess, in a lot of ways. Like, you're part of that, oh boy, zooming out sort of mentality while doing as much as you can at home for you and your family and everything. My income is linked to a lot of this stuff. And I think a lot of people feel that there are smaller farmers, there are younger farmers, there are people just starting out, like even just home gardens and stuff like that. And I think on a very small scale, I think those are the people that feel it very differently, than that sort of ennui of like, we're all going to die or the next generation is, you know, not to diminish that, you know, your approach to this is, but
yeah, I probably spent too much time on our collapse, but it's like the data's there. Like the data is there that, like, unless we can curb corporate pollution, it doesn't matter how much we do as individuals, because they skew the numbers so badly.
Yeah.
And until we can get like our government to actually hold those corporations accountable and to hold like the private jet usage, the yachts, the cruises, all of that stuff, until we can get that stuff in check, which we're not going to do. Like we're on a timeline of like 5 to 10 years. If we cannot get those businesses in check, we will hit past the tipping point.
Very much so, yeah, and it's going to ripple through every part of our society.
And that's why I put focus on like making sure that when that comes, I'm ready on my individual homestead, which is kind of like my whole nihilistic but doing things, is that like I'm preparing for this, that what we've done, our little effort, the like Vermont Green Up Day and stuff like that, that is just like, yeah.
Coming up, May 4th.
May 4th, a very very busy May 4th this year, because it's also Free Comic Book Day, and...
Oh, that's what was the other thing, yeah, yep. And Star Wars Day, I think I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt under this hoodie. Nice. So let's provide some resources here. We're about 15 minutes in, so I think this is a good spot to kind of, you know, talk about, you know, support for individuals, because this is really important. And I do want to say that the World Health Organization recognizes the mental health climate and mental health and correlation between mental health and climate change. There we go. They are urging, you know, government agencies and more to have action plans that involve mental health. So obviously you have your mental health professionals, you have therapists and counselors and all of that stuff. But That doesn't actually change the situation.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean that always,
not to it, disparage therapy.
Yeah, and that always like leads me into like the Vermont weatherization pro. What is the program they have? They're literally Vermont Efficiency Vermont.
Efficiency Vermont, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like I'm reading through there, like, hey, these are our like weatherization slash like climate change goals, and you go through the list, and yeah, some of it's good, but some of it's like, how is that going to stop pollutants, like what they have listed? Because they have stuff like insulating your house. Yep, that's great for making your house more efficient and making it so you're going to use less energy. Home heating systems. Yep, getting a more efficient home heating system. Great, help reduce your carbon footprint. Good. Water heating, same thing. Sealing up your windows and doors and stuff in the wintertime. But then the other side of that is I don't want, like, you can't have your house too well sealed in Vermont because we're getting into such a humid climate that we need to be able to open up and have like that old design of being able to catch that south to north wind we get all summer long and such.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Yeah, I'm going to show you your pen. This is, if you're watching on YouTube, this is something that Megan is giving to Eric, and it's a 4-color pen. That also does this.
And the last thing they have is like mold and moisture evaluating. And it's like, these are all great things to help make your house more efficient, but it's not actually addressing the changing climate we are seeing.
Yeah. Well, and focus on action is a big part. Taking action on climate change, you know, makes me feel better every day. I also suffer from this same level of ennui and fear of the unknown, but really well known. You can regain a sense of agency by doing things. So if you are feeling duress with these thoughts, find a way to do something. There's so many things that you can do to even just find ways to reduce your carbon footprint, you know, and don't take it as, you know, a burden. Take it as something you can be prideful of. Yeah. I've got so many 2 cents here when it comes to mental health.
Yes. Also, I was like, look, and then, like, one last thing is like the weatherization stuff. They have 2 categories of the basic stuff and the basic plus health. And like some of my favorite ones are like the, stuff like pest and dust mite removal. Like, well, yes, like that's an obvious thing. The other one they have is like carpet removal as something to help with your weatherization. It's just like, it's like, but carpets aren't like, I don't understand. Like that one, I don't understand. Like it, yes, it'll, if you don't maintain your carpet, it can affect your air quality. But if you're vacuuming regularly and keeping it maintained, like I don't see how having a carpet is anti-weatherization.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like you're putting more stuff in the landfill.
Yeah, exactly. Pulling out your carpet and then replacing it with, what, hardwood or linoleum? Like, linoleum's not great for the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then finding a sustainable source on flooring is a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, don't buy from Lumber Liquidators.
No, gosh, no. All right, what else you got? Should we focus on some of the solutions here, or you know, not necessarily solutions, but resources, and then sort of talk about what's going on at home?
Yeah, because I mean, I've got through my stuff pretty much.
Good. Well, yeah, and it's
I mean, I always have more. I could go on about like EVs and stuff, but
let's try to keep this short and sweet for people. This is a lot. Resources, and you know, I'm gonna talk about here in Vermont, but you know, these things exist other places too. I want to talk about 2 things. Well, 1 thing that we're doing tomorrow, which I think is important, but I want to, and this will be in the episode description, but the Vermont Crisis Line, you can call 802-860-1100 anytime, 24/7, and if you're feeling anxious or depressed, you can talk to a trained you know, a trained individual help you figure out what the next step is. You could also text them at 741-741. An organization that I've had conversations with about being a potential resource for farmers and homesteaders, and will be, this episode reminded me I need to follow up and do some more with them, but it's Farm First. It's a free and confidential service that provides support, resources, and information to Vermont farmers and their families dealing with stress, including depression. They connect you with counselors, financial, legal assistance, all of that stuff. You can give them a call at 802-318-5538. And then the person I've been talking to, Eva, her email is evag at farmfirst.org. And that's their website as well. Tomorrow we are getting involved in something that is new. Do you want to explain it?
It's kind of the starting conversation of what I was mentioning before, of that a lot of the climate change and weatherization goals of Vermont are very focused on the individual, on like how can you reduce your carbon footprint without much focus on how can we prepare Vermont for this changing climate.
So this is the resilience implementation I'm having a hard time talking
strategy.
Thank you. I was up past my bedtime, like I said. So Governor Phil Scott and Treasurer Mike Piekiak announced last January a joint effort to develop a comprehensive resilience strategy by July 1st, 2025, to coincide with an update to Vermont's Climate Action Plan, enabling a coordinated and balanced approach to addressing both the mitigation of greenhouse gas emissions and accelerate efforts to adapt to the consequences of climate change. And this is right from climatechange.vermont.gov.
I really hope that they put more focus on the preparing Vermont for the changing climate and less on the CO2, because like we've already done so much on with stuff with Efficiency Vermont and the ways to reduce your carbon footprint. But it's like, we have that stuff already, resources, guys. Like, let's not beat the dead horse on this. Let's focus on the future and going forward and how we can prepare Vermont's roads, Vermont's infrastructure for this changing climate that we are facing.
Well, and this is why we are attending, because this is an opportunity for us to put our voices in and have a continued say. There's supposed to be opportunities for us to follow up on things and continue to stay involved. And I think that's, you know, I think it's really great that we are both doing it, because it's, you know, it's good way to make sure we're following up on it, right? Like a little bit of peer pressure, but you know, this is our chance to have say in how these decisions are made and what, as citizens of Vermont, feel are the most important things. Mm-hmm. And I can go back through our text messages and find the link to the Zoom meeting. Oh, for the 25th, we will be attending the one on the 22nd tomorrow. So that one will have passed, but there's another one 6:45 on April 22nd.
They've got the one. Let's see. Yeah, they got the one at 5:30 on 22nd. And then they have the other one is it's at noon on the 25th. So not a great time for working Vermonters, but
no. But I'm going to the 25th is what day of the week?
Thursday.
I have office hours on Thursday, so I will not be able to attend that one. So, but we will definitely follow up on this meeting, and I think we'll, you know, do our best to stay involved at that level. And really start getting involved in the future. So, what has happened on the homestead this week for you, Eric? You got your young chickens.
Yep, I got my young chickens. I have one that's at least. I have one verified rooster, and he's very vocal about that. But it well, sounds like he can't really crow yet. So it sounds like he's gurgling water.
What do you use for grit?
I'm just using the starter mix.
Oh, okay. Because we found at West Lebanon Feed and Supply a grit, like a great deal on their brand of grit, where it was like 5 pounds for like $2 or something. It was amazing. So
yeah, I just used the Poland Grain starter mix.
Okay.
From what I've read is like they recommend just using that for the first 18 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can see my fly strip above the chicken coop, I think, there. So, but yeah, they're down there in that tank. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear them in here today.
They're definitely coming through.
Yep, so our 11 little ones, you know, at this point, we're just calling them all girls. They're 2 weeks old, maybe 2 weeks old by the time this episode comes out. And yeah, they're just being birds. We're just working on stuff. We picked up this. I was talking to Eric about this before the show. We picked up our tree order yesterday from East Hill Tree Farm in Plainfield, Vermont. And I had been given a gift certificate by my in-laws for a tree order this year for my birthday last year. And so I went. I spent more than I would normally on trees, on like one specific tree. You know, I have a 10-foot sugar maple now that we planted yesterday. But my order, there was more trees than I remembered ordering somehow. Like, you know, I was so focused on the sugar maple and the swamp oak that I kind of just forgot about the rest. So I got in a white oak, a sugar maple, and a swamp oak, which we've put in sort of our lower, really wet area. You know, the sort of vernal stream that we have. But now today I have to plant 4 birch trees, 2 red oaks, 2 witch hazels. I think that's it. But it looked, I don't know. There might be more trees. I don't know what's happening. But I somehow have a lot more trees than I expected. And they're huge. The big ones are planted already. But yeah, other than that, man, we are just getting ready for farmers markets. They are like getting real close. Meg is busting her ass, you know, making stuff and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just spring, but the weather is not exactly being cooperative. You know,
no, like we have this week, it warms up a little bit, and then we have at least one day where it gets right to freezing at night. But the rest of the week looks.
I dropped below freezing last night.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did last night. So, let me see. What is it looking like? I check it every once in a while of what's coming, because I'm just like,
I don't
do anything before Memorial Day, and I will preach that to everyone. Oh,
they've taken it out now. But I had snow on Wednesday. This one I looked at it this morning, but now it's rain. It's gonna start getting better next week, but
as long as everything goes well, next weekend looks like I should be able to move my chickens outside if I'm able to get my new coop built and ready to go and everything.
Right on. That's great news. That is, you know, you got, it's important to get them out there. And are you taking any extra steps now since what happened?
Oh, yeah. No, what we talked about last week. The only reason they were free range is because the door on their coop broke.
Right.
So no more free range. Yeah, no more free range. I don't like having them free range, but I am going to set up the new coop to have the coop itself is going to be stationary, but I'm going to set it up so their walkway and walking areas can be kind of shifted around. Is my goal.
Do you need any extra chicken wire?
No.
Okay.
No, I got lots of chicken wire. I'm also going to be taking pallets from the office to work on like kind of walls for the walking area.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to take all that chicken wire to Green Up Day, I think, and somebody will grab it. I've got just tons of it from old projects that, we're done with now.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, should we do any parting thoughts here? I mean, I just want to make sure these resources are available for people. There are also, when you go to Farm First, ways for you to volunteer to help farmers and be a peer. They will train you in listening skills and.
And I mean, I also want to point out, like, write your senator and Congress personnel, like, write your legislatures. Tell them, like, hey, like, there, we need plans. We need actual rules. We need the EPA to have teeth again. We or to have and to stop. I mean, we need to, we also need, yeah, lots of things. But yes, like, write your politicians. Like, and I've been saying this on Reddit, and this is my new mantra: is that every House seat in Mon or in DC is up for re-election this year. We have the opportunity to actually bring about change to Washington if people get out and vote.
Yes. And that is part another, where it's easy to follow into that nihilism about it, but I do still believe in the power of elections and voting, and despite how many times it has disappointed me over the
Yes.
decades, my nearly almost 40 years of being able to vote. No, 30 years of being able to vote. Sorry, I've just made myself a lot older.
Yeah, see, I'm at 20 years, because my first election was Obama. My
Okay,
first presidential was Obama.
my first was Clinton.
Yeah.
So,
But yes, well, yeah, that's, I mean, it's going to be huge, is putting pressure on politicians to do something about and not put the economy first. Because that's a big thing that happens, is that they put the economy first over actually any change that would be painful to the businesses in the economy.
Where if you reverse that order, the businesses will follow and fall in line because they're businesses. We shouldn't be adapting to businesses. Businesses should be adapting to us.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and there's certain countries in Europe that are very much making it work, and their corporations haven't fled the country yet. So,
Well, with that, next week we are going to be talking about foraging, spring foraging specifically. I feel like we're heading into my wheelhouse.
yeah, that's right. I thought it'd be a good opportunity for a Lucas Run episode.
I
Because I mean,
have
I
been
was also
doing a lot.
noticing, like, my fiddlehead, like, I can tell where my fiddleheads are starting to come in. They'll be ready. Actually, the probably fiddleheads will probably be this week.
Yeah, probably. I saw a lot of ramps out in Plainfield, Vermont yesterday.
Yes, and I will be very much watching my fern patches, because I don't do a lot of fiddleheads, because I like my ferns. I like the kind of cover they provide and the look they have on my bush line.
Yeah, and this is good for me. I need the
Hi,
break.
Jeffrey. Jeffrey behind me.
I need the break from thinking about all the things that are stressing me out right now. And I think you need a break from me making you run the episodes because I'm freaking out about farmers markets. Thank you, everybody. Again, if you want to reach the show, brokenshovel802@gmail.com. You can type brokenshovel802 into your search bar on Reddit, and you will find us there. We post the videos there from YouTube, as well as some other things that we find interesting.
Yes.
It's sort of a build it and they will come thing. So head on over to Reddit. It's a little bit different than it used to be. Of course, Facebook, Instagram, Broken Shovel Farm, Broken Shovel 802, TikTok, Broken Shovel 802. But mostly shoot us an email. Let me, if you're so inclined, you want to tell us how you sort of deal with climate anxiety on your own. I think that'd be interesting to sort of to hear from folks. If not, whatever. I don't like you either. Anything to say as on our way out the door here, Eric?
Nope, I've said my 2 cents.
Right on. All right, then, thank you for, and we'll talk to you next week.